Good morning and happy New Year's Eve to you. It's Dave Plyer in for Steve Cochran on 720 WGN. So from the mayoral runoff, the Laquan McDonald shooting, the murder of young Tyshawn Lee, to Governor Rauner, Speaker Madigan, and the stalemate in Springfield, to the Hawks winning the Stanley Cup, the Cubs in the playoffs, Chicago has had a year of headlines. And joining us to break it all down is the man that started his journalism career at Chicago City News Bureau in the early 60s to over 30 years at WBBM-TV, many with co-anchor Bill Curtis, 13 years at WFLD, his decades of legendary perspectives, which he now shares with our listeners right here on 720 WGN. And that is my friend Walter Jacobson. Walter, good morning and happy New Year to you.
David, good morning and happy New Year to you too, and thank you for having me in. I have a feeling like I'm in your house with all those fabulous historical and antique things you have having to do with radio.
I'm a radio and TV geek. Right. I can't help myself. I was mentioning to you before we went on the air that back in the 70s, first of all, we opened up with, of course, the classic WBBM opening, which is how I know you with Bill and John Coughlin and Johnny Morris. That's how I got to know you. But in like 1977, we had a family friend who was a camera operator there, and we came to see you do the 10 o'clock news at 10 years old. And I got to sit in your office behind, you know, in front of all the paperwork and all the books where you did your perspective. And I knew at 10 years old how cool that was.
Did I behave myself or did I try to brush you off? Yeah. I hope not.
No, you were very kind. You were very kind. And I always remembered that. Always remembered that. So much to talk about. And you and I picked, you know, the top five stories because there's so many of them in Chicago. Let's go back to the beginning of the year, to the mayoral runoff.
Okay, a big, as you say, a big year, a bad, bad year for Rahm Emanuel, which started in the runoff. He really didn't have to get into the runoff. If he had been much smarter leading up to the runoff or leading off to the first primary votes, but he had to get there, and after he did, Chuy Garcia did a pretty good job on him. He did a pretty good job himself, but not enough. I mean, the city at that point, in my opinion, was beginning to divide to a point where it had not been divided before. And Rahm was the culprit.
The days of Mayor Daley just being a shoe-in in a landslide in elections, those days are long over.
Long over, David, because politics is not what it used to be. You know, Daley ran everything. Daley was chairman of the Democratic Central Committee, which means he was the boss of all the precinct captains, and he was the one who, we're talking about Richard J. Daley.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was the one who put people in office from local offices all the way up through the state to federal offices. So there was no questioning him. He was the man of power. When his son, Richard M., got in, all of that ended because Richard M. was not much of a politician. He didn't even like politics. He, of course, did not become chairman of the Democrats of Cook County. So, as you say, big difference. And now Rahm, who's had no experience in local politics other than raising money, in fact, comes from a Washington experience that is not, in my opinion, applicable to what's going on here. Rahm came in like a big shot and acted like a big shot. He controlled the media, still does, or tries to, except at this point, the media is beginning to control him, and he's going to have to find a way to get around us.
So after the runoff and getting back into office, you know, there's been two major issues, and there's been a lot of them obviously related to the Chicago Police Department, and it's the Laquan McDonald shooting. It's the murder of Tyshawn Lee that got a lot of attention. And, you know, I take my hats off to the Chicago Police Department every day because, you know, they are hardworking individuals that risk their lives every day to protect us. And just like in any business, there might be a couple of folks in that department that might not be top-notch or doing the right things. But for the most part, they work really hard, and I take my hats off to them every day.
Boy, I do too. And I, as a reporter, have been investigating police and other activities for, you know, now 30, 40, 50 years, David. And there's always that problem of reporters seeming to pick on police just to pick on them, which I never did, and I don't think that's going on now. The police have, as you say, a tremendously dangerous, awful job, and they're not paid enough money. And whatever they are paid, they have to spend a good portion of it on their uniforms and their weapons. They do not get a fair shake. But, you know, that's politics.
It is politics. It is politics. Now we're at the stage where Police Superintendent Gary McCarthy is now gone. There's a search on for a new police superintendent. Not everyone is calling for the mayor to resign, obviously, with all the protests that have been happening over the last few weeks. This is from Representative Danny Davis earlier in the week. I'm not suggesting that the mayor needs to resign. He said that I'm suggesting that we need to overhaul in a very serious way the culture of law enforcement in our country.
Go ahead. Well, that's what you've got to expect to hear from politicians like Danny Davis and others. I don't think there's any point in talking about Rahm Emanuel resigning unless we do it in some sort of fantastical way. In my mind, there is just no way that man will quit. And I don't think he ought to quit either, because he is the only one in a position now to make these changes, because he's the only one who has that kind of strength. If Rahm Emanuel resigned, and there's just no way he can be forced to resign, there are no laws in the state of Illinois that allow a impeachment by the mayor of Chicago or any community in town, in the state. But he can't do it, David, because he's just constitutionally incapable of doing something like resigning. This is a challenge to him. And if there's anybody anywhere in this city who could make some reforms work, you have to say it would be him.
When I keep hearing protesters and so forth saying, well, the mayor has to go, and I understand that's what protesters do. It's the American way. Then what?
Well, that's it. That's the problem. We don't know what, because what is virtually an impossibility. But I don't think that's a question that we really have to deal with, because he won't. I won't even say unless. I don't think there's a chance that this man will resign. You never know what these protesters are going to do. And every time something happens that is negative in the city, having anything to do with the police force, there will be these kinds of protests. And the media will latch onto them the way we have up until now. You know, the media in this town, like in others, the newspapers and television, all suffering great financial distress. And that makes us more competitive. That means that there are more reporters assigned to dig into this, more reporters aiming for the big scoop that will be good for their careers, who are trying to find and will go back into the records and find things. And this is what's going to cause Rahm Emanuel serious trouble for the next year. I repeat, not enough to quit, but serious trouble. And I don't think it'll stop. So we have no idea what will happen as a consequence if it's not stopping. But I can tell you for sure it's not going to stop.
I have the mayor on my show quite frequently. I like the mayor. I like a strong Rahm Emanuel. I wasn't as thrilled when he gets emotional or tries to get emotional in front of the press. I want to see a guy that's going to go out there and kick some butt.
Well, he certainly is a butt kicker. He was driving, I guess I can say without revealing anything, that he was driving Gary McCarthy absolutely crazy. I wouldn't be surprised if Gary McCarthy was glad to have it over. Now he'll go out and get a great job and make a lot of money. But Rahm was on the phone to him every hour of every day, almost, demanding things that Gary McCarthy, who's a very good cop, couldn't do.
Yeah.
Can't do. Who can do?
Yesterday, the mayor announced some additional overhauls, officer training, including a new policy that calls for every cop on street duty to carry a taser by the summer. He said the policy changes center around de-escalation tactics to reduce the intensity of a conflict or potentially violent situation at the earliest possible moment, emphasizing that the foremost goal is to protect the safety of all involved. To me, that seems like isn't that always the case?
Yeah.
Isn't it, right?
It's almost, you want to say, duh. I mean, why not say that? And, you know, you really can't right now, when all this political turmoil, expect there to be more than that. He's on a tight rope, David, and he can't get off of it. If he makes a change that is tough on the police, then the police will lose faith in him, and maybe they will, as he has suggested, draw into a fetal position and be afraid to act. That's quite possible.
I have friends that are police officers, friends that are detectives, and I think that's already happened.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. This is the first time, I think, since Harold Washington was mayor of Chicago, that there is a chance for a coalition candidate in the black community to put that vote together. They were all, and have been since Harold died, they've all been disparate, not interested in the community as a whole politically, but just in their own careers. So they never got together to get a candidate to run for mayor. Now they're working on it. And if you look carefully, you will see that some African-American politicians in Chicago are already jockeying for that race in 2019. Tony Preckwinkle, who's been very critical of Rahm since Rahm got in office.
Yep.
Lisa Madigan was the first politician who went to say that Washington ought to come in here and investigate. She's got an interest in being mayor. Kwame Raoul, the state senator from the south side of Chicago, has already said he'd be interested. They are jockeying behind the scenes to such a degree, we would be astounded if we could sit in on one of those meetings, I would say.
Well, more to come in 2016. Okay. Now, stick around. More with Chicago, A Year in Review with Chicago's very own Walter Jacobson. Day player in for Steve Cochran on 720 WGN. And we're talking about Chicago, A Year in Review with our very own Walter Jacobson. So Rauner and the stalemate in Springfield. Rauner pledged to crack down on waste and government in order to save taxpayers over $140 million. He vowed to cut $500 million from the Illinois Department of Central Management Services to find $250 million in Medicaid savings. And Rauner and the Madigan-led Democrats who control the General Assembly are at odds over the governor's pro-business, union-weakening legislative agenda, which the governor has made a condition for negotiating a new budget. And here we are. Nothing's happening.
We're into our tomorrow, I think, will be 6 months that the state has been without a budget.
July 1st.
And that's just absolutely inexcusable. There were services that were being denied, programs that were not funded. But Rauner has somehow, in talking all this time about cutting back on expenses and not allowing things to go on, he somehow has found money. Who knows where? He's found money to pay the lottery tickets. He's found money to do some, to complete some services, you know, in health and welfare programs. But the budget that was passed by the Democrats that Rauner will not sign until, as you say, the Democratic Party allows more legislation that will cut back the negotiating power of the unions and more legislation that will increase the welfare of the business community. He's not going to sign it. He says now, he's even saying it may not come until spring. That's just crazy. There are still things that are not being paid. You know, just for example, there are thousands of college students in Illinois who are paying $15,000 to $60,000 a year in tuition, and we're getting some minimal help from the state of Illinois, like $2,300, $4,000 a year in scholarships, and it's just been cut off. They're not going to be able to finish school, so many of them. There are things like that. And Rauner's main problem, if he has one, and I think he does, is that his corrections are so mean to so many people who really need them. That's why he can't get the kind of support he's hoping to get to defeat Madigan's members of the General Assembly up for re-election. And he's so determined, so personally, to get Mike Madigan out of the picture that he's stepping on people's toes, whose toes he should not be stepping on as governor, in my opinion.
But some of this, too, I mean, and I agree that no state, no government should be spending more than it makes. It's really difficult to see this happening. And, you know, it's funny. I'm very conservative financially. I'm very liberal on social issues. So generally, I have no one to vote for. it's true. But when you see a situation like this and with a governor that is very pro-business, who would want to do business with the state right now when they're not getting paid 6, 9 months, 12, 18 months out on any business transaction that happens with the state of Illinois?
You know what? Those are his arguments, and they are perfectly legitimate. I would answer that by saying there is so much money, $30 billion in a state budget, in which he can find some things other than the things that are easy for him to change, easy for him to cut off and get the support of the Republican Party that's much less sympathetic.
So the last couple stories that we have here, of course, are all about sports. Chicago Cubs, Chicago Blackhawks. Cubs make the playoffs. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
Well, I have to admit that over the past couple of years, I've said to myself, Walter, you were a Cubs bat boy when you were 15
right.
years old
right.
and a visiting team bat boy at Wrigley Field when you were 16 years old. You were stained with Cubism for the rest of your life.
Stained.
So I got angry. And I said, I'm not going to go to a Cub game for a while until they shape up. And, you know, and I'm not going to watch the playoffs. Oh, but David, I just, it's like saying no to your children or your mother, you know. So, yes, I'm a Cub fan. It was hugely exciting. But we'll have to see next year.
Walter, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for asking me. And have a happy new year. Okay?
Same to you, my friend. All right. Top stories are next on 720 WGN.